RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
But let's go through what we saw in the NFL kind of this weekend. So Washington got theirs out of the way Christmas Day. We did those three games. Then it was kind of like we waited around a little bit. Saturday games, Sunday games, a whole bunch of meaningful results. And I feel like we learned a decent amount. Let's start with the Texans beating the Chargers 2016. This Texans group is nasty. I don't know how good they are offensively. I don't know if they're good enough to win a championship offensively. I don't know if they're good enough to even win get to a conference championship game offensively, because I feel like at some point you got to make a play. But I wouldn't want to be the team that has to find out. You know what I mean? Like, they are nasty, Ked.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, a lot has already been said about their head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and you can tell based off of watching him as a player. I think we were the same draft class in 06, right? But his team mimics the way that he goes out there and play, right? They play, they're fast, they're physical,
yeah.
They're violent, right? And whether they win or lose the game, Whoever that they played, whoever they play next week, they're going to be sore, right? Because that's just the way the Texans play football.
So I've been through this a million times with Grant, but their losses, when we kind of, I don't want to say we wrote them off, but a lot of people did, these are not bad losses, if that makes any sense. They lost to really good football teams that are pretty accomplished and are doing things this year. So going through that super quick, they lost week one to the Rams. Rams are pretty good. Haven't had a chance at the one seed until very recently. And that's a one-score game. They lost in week two by a point to Tampa. This is when Tampa was on fire, coming back in every one of their games. Again, 2019, they lost there. They lost to the 12-win Jacksonville Jaguars by a touchdown. Again, it all looks bad. They lost to the team that right now is the one seed in the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks. And we're going, oh, they stink. They're 2-4. They lost to the one seed in the AFC, Denver Broncos, by a field goal. And since then, they've whooped everybody's ass. I'm telling you, that group is nasty.
For sure, for sure. And they play quality opponents, whether we realize it or not,
yes.
Right? So this whole time, right, they didn't get in their feelings. They didn't say, oh, the season's over because it didn't start. What they knew was they were playing quality football. They were more concerned about the process, right? They got better each and every week, and now they're playing their best football down the stretch.
So they're the 5 seed as things stand, and currently the 4 seed is the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into that in a second, but they'll either play Pittsburgh or Baltimore. What a draw for Houston to get themselves into the divisional round. If there's one team you'd pick to play that's in the postseason, it'd be the AFC North winner.
Absolutely, because for whatever reason, huge fan of the AFC North, whether it be at Pittsburgh or Baltimore, for whatever reason, things are just not working out up north.
It is not. This is a bad year in that regard. So I'll stay out west super quick here. Broncos, nail in the coffin of the Chiefs. That's not the Chiefs. That's kind of a bastardized version of the Chiefs that we saw, but it just felt symbolic, right, that the last game on Christmas night was kind of a slugfest, the way that the Broncos have sort of won all year long. It wasn't pretty, but I don't think that matters to a team that's now 13-3.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, what you have with Denver, right, and Sean Payton, like we all know about his time with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and the Dome, right? But this is somebody that's off of a Bill Parcells coaching tree, right? So his football teams historically aren't going to be physical.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to run the football, and he's developing a young quarterback. And like you talked about, right, the Chiefs just hadn't been the Chiefs with the Patrick Mahomes injury. But that being said, you know, the Broncos are figuring it out, and more so than anything, winning 13 games in this league is hard to do, and they've done that with a young team that believes in what they're doing.
And that's kind of the most amazing part to me is usually we think of a 13-game winner. I mean, we look at the Chiefs last year, right? I think they were 15-2 or 14-3. I can't remember which. But they won games like the Broncos have won, where they're trailing in the fourth quarter, where it's the one-score comeback win, where they don't look good for three quarters, and yet somehow they find a way, et cetera. And a lot of the analytics guys, the pocket protectors, the nerds that cover this game and give you information. I love all data points. We decide what weighs more to us. We'll go, yeah, but with that. But having been a player and been in some of those locker rooms where that belief is powerful. You know what I mean? It's more than a number, where Denver should not be 13-3 according to the numbers. We turn it in, they're probably a 10-6 team. But they're 13-3 for a reason, right?
No doubt about it. And like I said, man, analytics has been around for since anything, right?
Sure,
like
sure.
You figure out what you did, you figure out what you did good, you figure out what you did right, you figure out who's doing it really well, and you get numbers, right? So like modern world, right, we created a whole department now called analytics, right? Coaches used to do it, now they got other guys that do it. And like you said, it's the information that you want, because you really get down in the weeds and really do a deep dive of situations. But one thing that you cannot discredit, right, is belief, right, and understanding situational football, right? Denver, right, has made plays when they needed to be made. They have gotten the stops when they needed to have stops. And the team believes that no matter what the situation is, who we're playing, if we're down or whatever, that they can go out there and win that football game. And so as somebody, and another big thing now is mental health, right, and understanding the mind of an athlete is a precious thing, right? And when there's a belief there, you're going to be dealing with an unstoppable force.
So we'll get to games that there aren't many mysteries yet to be solved when it comes to playoff seeding and who's in and who's out. The most important game, if there is such a thing, next weekend is that AFC North. It's Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That's because Baltimore, in the battle of the backup quarterbacks, looked really good to me, beating up on the Green Bay Packers, 41-24 in that game. I thought Huntley was really good. I mean, Malik Willis made himself some money. He was incredible in that game, even in a loss. But that was actually a wildly entertaining matchup when, on paper, it may not have been the most entertaining game over the weekend.
Well, you're talking about two franchises that historically, you know, have really good football teams, right? Baltimore, for whatever reason, Lamar has not been right all year. I mean, you can contribute that to injuries. He's still a guy that, you know, I believe in as a player, as a quarterback. I think he will eventually, you know, top that mountain and win a Super Bowl in this league. But for whatever reason, he's beat up, banged up this year. But you're talking about a culture in Harbaugh. You're talking about a team that's been defensive led since they went back to Baltimore and they called themselves the Ravens, right? So it's exciting football. You know what I mean? And the Ravens are going to be the Ravens more times than not.
So, you know, you ever seen Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
The dramatized thing. And it's like a couple things, I'm sure, as a player. It's like eye rolling. Where like Dennis Leary's like, I need a running back. And it comes in like, oh my God, it's so cringe.
Oh, it's not like that for real?
I don't think it is, but I don't know. I've never been in those war rooms. But I will tell you, when he remember he wrote his note down, right? Was Vontae Mack no matter what? I would have a note and post it. Maybe you put it in permanent ink. Maybe you laminate it. It would be very simple. Give the ball to Derrick Henry. I would have that as my note, as a reminder to everybody. Our bread is buttered right now on 22. My goodness, was that incredible.
You know, he's had an issue fumbling the ball since the beginning of the season.
Which he never had before.
But to your point, and like you all say on the show all the time, right, look at the back of his baseball card.
Yeah.
The back of his baseball card is you feed him the football. That's what his high school coach did.
Yeah.
That's what Hall of Fame coach Nick Saban's doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do, because he is a problem. The colder it gets, bodies are sore. He's still big. He's still physical. And he's a problem for opposing defenses.
Darius, can we make a note that Ked knows some inside baseball on G&D? Did you catch that? That's very flattering. I appreciate that. Did you played against him, right? Derrick Henry? Or did you guys miss each other?
When did he come in the league? I think he was in Tennessee when I was – what year did Derrick Henry
get? I want to say 2016. Is that possible?
That was my last year. So we just missed each other. Lucky for him. No, I'm just playing.
That's funny. So it's dumb to say, did you have to tackle a back like him? They don't make many guys like that, but I'm talking about that big – because every back in my lifetime that's been that way, whether it was an Eddie George or Christian Okoye from when I was a kid, or a Barry Word, or – you know, Ironhead Hayward, or Jerome Bettis is maybe the exception. He lasted longer. But most of those guys, you hit the wall. Someone that's that big and that physical, they're just too many body blows, too many hits. And next thing you know, they kind of fall off a cliff. He's the exception. He is a freight train. He's as tough to tackle now as he was 10 years ago.
Somebody that hits really close to home, Brandon Jacobs. Right up the street, right? And so
Diesel.
When he was in that three-headed monster with Bradshaw, and I forget the other one, right? But, like, to your point, when he finally had to shoulder the load and he was getting 30-plus carries a game, he had a few years run there, but the hits added up. You know, what Derrick has done, I mean, people talk about it. You can probably Google it, look on social media, so on and so forth. What we know about the body and sports science and so on and so forth, here's a guy that takes care of his body. He probably gets in the infrared sauna, the cold tub, hot tub, hyperbaric chamber. He probably, you know, has a team of people that's able to take care of his body. And by the way, the NFL has adjusted, right, to the way that we practice, the way we go about it, and understanding that, yes, I still believe, right, it is a tough man game, right, but we also have to be smart And we want these guys performing at their peaks on Sundays and Mondays.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And Thursday nights, right? And so Derrick Henry has done it. Now, I would say this, though. Early on in his career, he wasn't running like this, right? So he's been, the last 8 years where it's really kind of been the Derrick Henry show, right? But hats off to him. And if he was on my team, I'd definitely give him the ball.
I would get that dude the football. God, it was so damn impressive. That game this weekend kind of saved their season, give them a chance to have a win and get in. Another win and get in type game taking place this coming weekend is the NFC South. So this is a division that somebody's going to have to win. I mean, we have rules about this. Like, you need a division winner. We can't settle it until you do. Carolina, Tampa both lost this weekend. Carolina, no shame in their loss. Maybe the best team in the NFL. Seattle just dismantled them 27-10. It was close until it wasn't. Seattle, to me, it seems like they should be, and I want your take on this. I look at them and I go, that's an excellent defense. Smart head coach, Mike McDonald, knows what he's doing. I get that their defense is very good. Offensively, it seems they should be figured out by now. Sam Darnold's going to turn it over. They're a one-trick pony when it comes to throwing the ball. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is incredible, as smooth a route runner as you're going to find. He reminds me of kind of Marvin Harrison, the way that he played, where it doesn't look like he's faster than everybody, but no one's within 5 yards of him when he makes his breaks and cuts, and everything is so smooth. But this Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet run game is okay. A.J. Barner's fine. This shouldn't be the best team in the NFC type juggernaut, in my view, offensively. And yet here they are, right at the top, as good as anybody. They beat the brakes off of Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, right, defensively, right, that offensive coaching staff knows that, right, our defense is going to keep us in the game, right? So, Sam, just don't turn it over as much as you used to, right?
Right,
we're going to make a play, right?
And the losses, that's what's happened.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, we have explosive players, right? We're going to be committed to running the football, right, to keep our defense off the field. And we know our defense is going to make plays, create short fields for us. And, you know, that formula still works in the NFL, right? Play good defense. Don't turn the ball over. Get some hitting yards in the kicking game. And you got a good football team.
Browns beat the Steelers. I don't want to spend too much time on this one other than to say, you know, it sets up our winning it in with the Steelers and Ravens. But from a Browns perspective, quantify what Myles Garrett's doing. Because we've seen TJ Watt and Michael Strahan get that 22.5. He didn't get a sack this game against Aaron Rodgers, who's admittedly tough to sack. Usually gets rid of the football. One of the fastest times to throw in the NFL this year. But everybody, he's number one on the scouting report every week. Everybody knows that where 95 is, and he's moving around the line of scrimmage, et cetera. But explain to the casual person, and pretend I'm one of them too, because I don't get it. I don't get how someone could be this dominant.
Well, you know, it's the NFL, right? So it is the best of the best, the elite of the elites. But amongst those freaks, you have a freak amongst freaks, uh-huh. Right? And I'm sure you can, another Grant and Danny kind of moment, you can go to some type of medieval goons and gulags and whatever it is, right? Type of sci-fi type hit, right? There's always somebody bigger and badder, right? That guy is Myles Garrett.
And that's him.
That guy's Myles Garrett, right? Like, you look at, even from when he was drafted, a guy with that size, that strength, that power, right, that he doesn't have a weakness in his game, mm-hmm. right? So you can't just run the ball and beat him up, right? He's going to beat up your offensive line in the run game. He's bigger, he's faster, he's stronger, he's more explosive. He's a guy that has continued to work on his craft of rushing the passer, right? So, and you hear, you see, we all seen the highlight clip earlier in the year where he just like is playing basketball with a dude, right? And the offensive lineman doesn't know what to do with him, and nobody does, right? And so any smart quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is say, I'm just going to throw the ball away because I know you're outmatched. Now, the irony of it all was I thought he was going to give him the record, kind of like
Favre did too.
I thought he was just going to kind of take a little dive.
I think if they were winning the game, they would have.
Probably. That's what I was kind of hoping for, just as like, hey, ha-ha, forget you.
Uh-huh.
Right, Favre, I'm going to kind of step in that. But the Ravens and the Steelers are playing for that playoff berth. But what is going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I Aaron Rodgers, from my time playing, was the most talented guy. It sounded like a rifle when the ball went by you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, from a talent standpoint, his hands are literally the size of extra large pizzas. He's athletic. He's smart. He gets you in the right call. I don't know how you stop him, but yet that offense isn't doing what I believe it should be doing with putting points up on the board with the defense that they have.
No DK Metcalf, I think, hurts. It just feels like everything is hard with that offense, right? It just feels like nobody's open. Everything is razor thin. They're predictable. I'm with you. I'm trying to answer. I don't have a good answer for it either, by the way. Like, if I knew, I'd send him a letter and go, hey, Mr. Tomlin, I think you're great at running stuff and you should be in charge of a lot of things. Something's going on with your offense that ain't right. I would try to fix it if I could. I just don't know. I don't know what the formula is. Every time they would take a step forward this year, where you go, okay, we've unlocked Kenneth Gainwell for Renaissance for a couple of weeks, or we can go back shoulders to DK Metcalf for a couple of weeks. Whatever it is just sort of seems to vanish into the ether, and it's like, here's a back shoulder seam route in between seven defenders to Pat Freiermuth for a yard and a half. Just doesn't seem like much is going on there offensively. Let's go to Jaguars-Colts. I feel for the Colts. I really do. Just the way that this has gone, they were at one point among the best teams in the league. They've now, they're fighting their, what's off. It's Phil Rivers. It's Jonathan Taylor. They just don't have enough horses. And Jacksonville comes back and wins this game, goes to 12-4.
I mean, the Jaguars believe, ever since the kind of cringeworthy Duval moment, right, that was kind of that coach's hiccup, right? That was his moment. I didn't think he was going to respond from it. Obviously, he's got that locker room fighting for him, playing for him. Trevor Lawrence is playing at a high level, right? They have some talent down there. And I think they've kind of taken that Jacksonville against the world type mentality, right? Sean Payton made the comments, small market team, right? Those guys are having fun. They're going out there playing. The Colts had it rocking and rolling early in the year with Daniel Jones, the Phillip Rivers, which I think he's a future Hall of Famer. All the stuff that goes with him, right? Like, that was the savior of the season, right? Mm-hmm. I think as a coaching staff, right, you got to have a little bit more of a plan versus a guy that hadn't played in 4 years that is a future Hall of Famer. So they didn't do that, and then their season kind of went down the drain.
That's exactly what it did. So for the Jaguars, I want to talk about them real quick. Kedrick Olsen sitting in for GP. When they dropped 3 out of 4, and the only win was against the Raiders in overtime, I might add, I went, I got you. You're frauds, right? Nice start. That's cute. You beat, a couple of teams. You're just okay. I don't really think you're for real. Trevor Lawrence is doing what he's done, where we just assume that he's good, but he's not playing great at this point. Since then, they lost an OT to the Texans, a game they should have won, frankly, against the Texans. They allowed a huge comeback. They've ripped off, 8 straight? At this stage, or 7 straight? They have been really, really good. And early on, it was unsustainable stuff with turnovers and the defense. They've kind of locked back in. Both sides of the ball, a lot of really fun offensive creativity, kind of unlocking ETN again, different receivers. I mean, guys have been kind of disappointing. When Brian Thomas was supposed to have the juggernaut of a season, hasn't happened, hasn't mattered. They're 12-4, man. It's commendable to me.
Yeah, I mean, first-year staff, right, they have to figure each other out, right? Yeah. What is Trevor like? What is ETN like? What does this football team look like, right? So, like, you can have a plan, kind of a process you want to go to, but each team kind of morphs into its own individual. Like, how do I maximize this group, right? And so those losses early on, right, they're only a loss if they continue to weigh you down, right? If you don't adjust, you don't adapt, right? We talked about everything being hard for Pittsburgh, whereas in Jacksonville, right, like, they're dialing it up, right? And we use the word creativity when it works, right? When it works, we use the word creativity. So being creative is finding ways, right, to make the quarterback's job easier, right? Being able to run the football, right? Being able to create matchups that you know you can win, right? Defenses in the NFL are really good, but they're also going to give you stuff, right? And if you take those things, right, you can sustain drives. The more opportunities you have, the more times that you're going to score points, because that's just the way the game works.
Two more games we'll talk about quickly. Patriots sandblasted the Jets. The Jets non-competitive. That was disappointing showing. Late afternoon situation. Eagles-Bills. What do we learn from that one? 13-12 final. So Buffalo goes for two, doesn't get it, end up losing the game because of it. But neither offense really impressed. Defensively, you got to tip your cap in both directions, even though the Eagles' defense, I feel like, coming in probably better than Buffalo's on paper. Certainly some of the numbers would back that up. What did we make of that game?
You know, I mean, you know, some could say it's a potential Super Bowl matchup, right? You're talking about two really good football teams where the Bills say, hey, listen, we're going to go for two. If we win it, it's great. If we lose it, that's just what we need going into the playoff, right, to kind of refocus, right? So I looked at that as, hey, you know, you can say what you want to about Philadelphia, right? Their offense, good or bad, defense, right? But they have a pedigree of championship caliber football, and that's what I saw last night of just two teams, right, that competed, right? And they didn't score a bunch of points like we like to see in the modern-day NFL, but it was a fun football game to watch.
Yeah, a grind. Not much happened in the third quarter. Then finally the Bills scored a couple times in the last handful of minutes. I think zero passes completed in the second half for the Eagles. Just it tells you something ain't going right on that offense.
Well, but also, right, like when you got Saquon Barkley, right? Yep. I don't remember exactly what the weather conditions were, right? But if you're trying to win a football game, right, so as a head coach, right, defense is playing lights out, right? Josh Allen, they're keeping him contained, right? Stephon Diggs is with the Patriots. But that being said, so you don't need to throw the ball, right? Because obviously they know a little bit more than we do. Maybe Jalen is banged up. Maybe his arm is sore. Or, you know what, they're just trying to prove a point where, you know what, we feel like we're bigger, stronger, and we're going to try to keep our defense off the field and run the football.
Maybe something to that. Certainly makes sense. And then last night, 80 points are scored in the Bears-49ers game. That was riveting. I mean, whatever style of game you wanted yesterday, you got. If you want a defensive arm wrestling match, that's fun too. But we had a 42-38 Niners win over the Bears. I came away really impressed with both teams. Obviously not defensively. That's not really a thing. But that kind of punch, counterpunch, it felt like whoever had the ball last was going to win it. I think that win said a lot for the 49ers, but I don't think Chicago gets to hang their heads today after dropping that one.
No, I mean, you know, the 49ers have went through injuries. Kyle Shanahan is proven he can score a lot of points in this league. Ben Johnson, hats off to him kind of turning that thing around with the local product, Caden Williams out of Gonzaga High School, right?
So a couple great throws in that game yesterday.
Talk about a talent, right? But it's just fun football, right? Yeah. Because at that point, right, the defenses are trying, right? Like, Salah's trying to stop Ben Johnson, right? But that's when, you know, the young kids say, you know, the offensive coordinators, the play callers, they get in their bag, right? And they figure it out. They create those matchups, and they got good football players, right? And so, you know, the Bears are playing really good football, and the 49ers are, right? And so if I'm a team, you know, I don't want to see them coming down the stretch because of what the problems that they show offensively.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.